Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Those words, Lord, teach us to pray, have been our text for the past few weeks. As we have considered being with Christ in the school of prayer, up until now we have considered the subject of prayer. And then last week we considered the students of prayer. And today we want to look at the Savior and prayer. As was said over the past few weeks, we have been considering the words which were spoken by one of the Lord's disciples, and how we are glad that he asked this question. Because the Lord's response and the Lord's reply not only taught his disciples on that day many things about prayer, but the Lord's words have taught God's people about prayer even since those words were spoken. These words are an indication that this particular disciple wanted to enroll in the Lord's school of prayer. Lord, teach us to pray. And as we have seen, there is only one subject that is dealt with in this school. The subject is prayer. This disciple recognized the value of prayer. Obviously, when he said, Lord, teach us to pray. None of the disciples ever asked the Lord, Lord, teach us to preach. But they did ask, Lord, teach us to pray. Because if a man knows how to pray, he'll know how to preach. So they saw the value of prayer. May we also see and indeed believe in the value of prayer. This disciple also would have known something of the vitality of prayer. That even as we were singing there this morning, this power in prayer, and how we need to know more about that power. My weakened will, Lord, thou canst renew. My sinful nature, thou canst subdue. Fill me just now with power anew, power to pray, power to do. Living in thee, Lord, thou in me, constant abiding, this is my plea. Grant me thy power. Boundless and power with men, power with thee. That only comes through being in the school of prayer. That's where this question was asked. It was asked in the school of prayer. The disciples were with Christ in the place of prayer. And believer, that's where we learn to pray, in the school of prayer. So there's the value and the vitality. And this disciple, having known something of the Lord's prayer life, but also have known about the victory which comes through prayer. So no wonder then this disciple said to the Lord, "Lord, teach us to pray." So in this school we have the subject, and in this school you have the students. The disciples were there, and this request shows a willingness on the part of this disciple and the other disciples, a willingness to be taught. They wanted to be taught more about prayer. I wonder how many today have that same willingness. A willingness. "Lord, I want to know more about prayer. I want to know more about how to pray. I want to know more about this power in prayer. I want to know more about this victory in prayer." This disciple, by asking this question, demonstrates a willingness to be taught. And he recognized, of course, that he wasn't the only one needed to be taught, for he said, "Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us." We all need to be taught. And if it was true then, it's true now. We all need to be taught more about prayer. That now brings us to the Savior, the one who is the teacher. For the disciple said, "Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples." The disciples of John the Baptist had a great teacher. They had John the Baptist himself, Christ-like man who knew what it was to pray, man who lived a Christ-centered life. Those disciples had John to teach them, but here the Lord's disciples has the Master to teach him. For no one knows more about prayer than the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is our subject today, then, the Savior and prayer. And regarding his teaching, "Lord, teach us. Lord, teach us. Lord, be our teacher." We know, first of all, that the Lord Jesus is an excellent teacher. There is none who can excel the Lord Jesus Christ when it comes to teaching. And a student needs a teacher who knows his work, who has the gift of teaching, and who in practice and love will descend to the children's needs and bless God. The Lord Jesus is all this and more. He is an excellent teacher because he is a teacher who has the anointing of heaven. When it comes to dealing with spiritual matters such as prayer, the teacher or the preacher, if he is to do justice to his subject, needs to have the anointing of God. We can speak about prayer, and it can come just from the teeth out. We can speak about prayer and all that we have in our mind, but when it comes to dealing with prayer, it needs to come from the heart. And it needs to come from one who has the anointing of God. And my, when someone has the anointing of God, he'll know how to teach, know how to preach, and know how to teach the subject of prayer. Jesus Christ had the anointing of God. And so whenever he dealt with this subject, he did so honestly and with sincerity and with conviction, as he did with all the subjects that he handled. Therefore, there is none better able, more qualified, to teach the disciples about prayer than the Lord Jesus. What did Nicodemus say to the Savior? He said, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher." But he didn't finish there. "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God." So here was God's teacher. He had come from God, and a teacher was the anointing of God. Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And here's the Lord Jesus at his baptism, but he's praying. And as he's praying, the Holy Ghost comes upon him. And his heavenly Father commends him. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ say in his first sermon there in the synagogue in Nazareth at the beginning of his ministry? The minister handed him the scriptures, and he opened the scriptures at Isaiah 61, and then he began to read, and this is what he said. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." And we know that when Christ preached, he taught. It wasn't a preaching for the sake of preaching, but people learned from the Savior's preaching. He taught his congregations. And the Lord Jesus is that teacher that has the anointing of God. What better person, believer, to teach us about prayer than the Lord Jesus? For he has the anointing of heaven. And the disciples knew this. They had been with him now for some time. They had heard him teach, they had heard him preach, they had seen and heard him pray. And without a doubt they would have said one to another, "This man has the anointing of God. We need to ask him to teach us to pray." Believer, if we want Christ to teach us to pray, we need to get into the school of prayer. We need to get to the place of prayer. We need to get before the throne of grace and say, "Lord, I'm in thy school now. Lord, teach me. Here I am before thee. Lord, teach me. I'm willing to be taught. I want to be taught. Lord, teach me." We couldn't have a better teacher than Jesus Christ. He was a teacher with an anointing. He was also a teacher with authority. You look at the Gospels and the Lord's ministry and his preaching and his teaching. Look at all the lessons he delivered. All the subjects he dealt with. When you look at his teaching and preaching ministry, you'll notice There are no ifs or buts or maybes or perhaps. He never left his listeners or his students in any doubt. He preached and taught with authority. He believed what he preached. He believed what he taught. And when it comes to prayer, he could speak upon prayer and speak with great authority because he was a man of prayer. As we have said, no one prayed as Christ prayed. The Lord Jesus taught his hearers with great authority. For we read in Mark 1 verse 22, and they were astonished. That is, his hearers. They were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, and not as the scribes. The people had been listening to the scribes for years, and they were not impressed by the teaching and the preaching of the scribes. They were not impressed at all. They didn't speak with authority. It's as if they didn't really believe what they were teaching. They had no power. But oh my, when the disciples and others listened to Christ, said, this man has authority. He speaks with authority. He teaches with authority. He preaches with authority. And he preaches with the authority of heaven. That's the way to preach. That's the way to teach. He spoke with the authority of God. Why? Because he is God. And when he spoke upon the subject of prayer, he could speak with authority, because he had spent many hours, many days, many nights in prayer. He could speak with authority. Once again, we couldn't find a better person to teach us by prayer than the Lord Jesus Christ. We have read many times, I'm sure, but the prayer lives of men of God have been impressed, maybe stirred in our own hearts. But whoever we've read about, whatever their prayer lives were like, nobody ever prayed like Christ. So therefore, when he speaks on the subject, he can speak with authority. And surely that would lead us to him. Would it not lead us to him and fall down at his feet as Mary did? And this time say, Lord, teach me to pray. I've been fiddling about, playing at church, playing at prayer. Lord, come and teach me to pray as thou hast prayed. He's a teacher with authority. He's a teacher with the anointing. He's a teacher with ability. There was none more able, as was said, to deal with the subject than the blessed Lord Jesus. Now there is none better acquainted with the subject than Christ. We've read in the scriptures about Abraham and how Abraham prayed. And Abraham was a man of prayer. We've read in the scriptures about the prayer life of Moses. How often he prayed for those Israelites as he was leading them through the wilderness. They were breaking his heart at times. And how Moses prayed for them and interceded for them and cried to God for them. Moses knew all about prayer, and Abraham knew all about prayer. And they were the opportunity to ask them. They could tell as many things about prayer. But they wouldn't hold a candle to Christ. You think of the prayer life of Samuel. You think of the prayer life of Job. They knew something about prayer and could tell as many things about prayer. But not like Christ. None would have the ability or the authority to speak upon the subject of prayer like the Lord Jesus. And we want someone to teach us about prayer, how to pray. Then we need to go to one who's well acquainted with the subject. One who can speak with authority on the subject. One who has that ability. That only leaves one person. Christ. Will you join him in the school of prayer? Will you enroll in the school of prayer? Will you come today and say, Lord, teach us to pray? So we have considered the excellent teacher. And then we look a little further at the Lord Jesus and we discover that he is an experienced teacher. He's experienced in teaching. And he's experienced in prayer. Perfect combination, isn't it? One who excels in teaching and one who's experienced in prayer. Couldn't wish for better. There is none better qualified to teach us about prayer than one who is experienced in prayer. You know, the wonderful thing is that the Holy Spirit has given us a record of some of the Lord's experiences in prayer. Do you ever talk to a believer about their experiences in prayer? Well, the Lord Jesus has many of his experiences in prayer recorded for us here in the pages of Holy Writ. My, we thank God for that. And you look at the experiences of Christ. We might look at a few of them this morning. You notice his experience in prayer with regard to his service. His service and prayer. When the Lord Jesus was baptized, as we've already noted, he was about to embark upon his earthly ministry. He had been in the wilderness. He had been tempted of the devil 40 days and 40 nights. Now he comes out of the wilderness and he goes to Jordan and there he's baptized and he's praying. He's praying. And from there he would go out, begin his ministry, and the first message he would preach, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he'd go to Nazareth and enter the synagogue and then preach from Isaiah 61. And his ministry would continue. But how did he commence his ministry? He commenced his ministry with How did he continue his ministry? With prayer. How did he conclude his ministry? With prayer. The Lord Jesus knew, even though he is God, but he's the God-man. And the Lord Jesus knew that if he was to carry out and do his Father's will, he must pray. And he did pray. And along with the Lord's earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus lived a life of prayer. And believer, whatever we do for the Lord, we need to pray over it. Need to pray about it. Need to pray for the Lord's blessing upon it. The Lord Jesus was one who commenced his ministry with prayer. It was one of his experiences. The Lord knew what it was to pray as he served his Father. The Lord never dreamt of carrying out his Father's work without praying. And my, if the Lord, who is God, would not carry out his work without praying, how much more then do we need to pray over our work? Yes, we have here in the scriptures a record of some of the Lord's experiences in prayer. Wouldn't it be good at the end of our days if we were able to write a book about our experiences in prayer? I wonder if we were to write that book right now, how many pages would we fill up of our experiences in prayer? And the Lord Jesus not only experienced prayer in his service, but he could teach his disciples about prayer in secret. He knew what it was to go away from his disciples and his followers and his work and get alone with God in prayer. We've already quoted these verses in our study thus far, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. He's alone. A great while before day, before the sun is up, before the disciples come asking him questions, before the multitudes throng him, he must get alone with God. And again, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. Another one of his experiences. And one day the disciples came upon him. And we read in Luke 9, verse 18, he was alone praying. Alone. And the disciples knew all this. And they knew the Lord was one who would go off and go into the secret place and pray. And this is the one they ask. Lord, teach us to pray. Reveal to us the secret of the secret place. Because of the hustle and bustle of life, I'm sure we all find it difficult at times to get alone in the secret place with God. with something to do, and we'll say, well, we'll leave the prayer time till later on in the day, and the day comes and goes and the prayer time is missed. Well, no one was busier than Christ. No one. He knew the secret of the secret place. It was to the Lord the disciple came. Say, Lord, teach us to pray. Reveal to us the secret of the secret place. Lord, teach us to pray. His service and prayer, his secret place of prayer. And then the Lord had another experience. He experienced sorrow and prayer. See him stand at the sepulchre of Lazarus. And we read that as he stood there, he groaned in spirit and was troubled. He groaned in spirit and was troubled. And what did he do next? When he was groaning in spirit and when he was troubled, what did he do next? John 11:41 says, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, he prayed. That's what he did. Groaned in spirit and was troubled. He knew what to do. He prayed. See him again, round, and prayed. He knew what to do. When he was groaning in spirit, he knew what to do. Pray. When he was troubled, he knew what to do. Pray. When he was sorrowful, even exceeding sorrowful unto death, he knew what to do. Pray. And sometimes, when trouble comes and sorrow comes, we hardly know what to do. We hardly know what to do. But we should do as the Savior did. Pray. And so the disciple came to the Lord and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us that when trouble comes and sorrows come, Lord, teach us to pray. May we know what to do. And the Lord Jesus often wept when he prayed. Hebrews 5:7 tells us who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayer and supplication, the strong crying and tears. So burdened was he in prayer at times that he often wept through his prayers. You know, as I was going over this and preparing this, I thought to myself, when was the last time I wept in prayer? When was the last time I wept over souls in prayer? Isn't it true that we can offer to the Lord not only dry prayers, but dry eyes as well? Speaking with Mr. Foster yesterday, and we were talking about a man of God who visited Ulster, preached around our churches. A man called Jordan Khan. He's from India. We made reference a couple of weeks ago there to praying height of India. Well, Jordan Chan's father was praying height prayer partner. So he knew all about prayer. And we were talking about our experiences being with Jordan Chan. I remember coming to my church when I was a student. He stayed in our home. He was to preach in my church that night. And I can still see it yet in my mind's eye for 3 hours before the meeting. Jordan Chan went out of our home and he walked up and down our front garden with a blanket over his head. He didn't care who saw him. But what was he doing? He was praying. He was getting alone with God before he went into the pulpit to preach. Mr. Foster was saying about one of the meetings that he preached for him. And he said it was one of those meetings. He says, I never witnessed the like of it before. He says, Jordan Chan was preaching. He was talking about India and about the burden he had for the people there. And he says, all of a sudden in the pulpit, Jordan Chan burst out into tears. And he wept and he cried and he got out of the pulpit and he fell down on his knees at the front of the pulpit and began to weep and cry to God. And Mr. Foster says, I didn't know what to do. He says, the Lord was in the meeting. The Lord was in control of the service. And he says, there was a brokenness all over the congregation. And he says, I didn't know what to do. And I thought to myself, that's what it'll be like when revival comes. We'll not know what to do. But such was the burden our Jordan Chan had for his people. I remember him also speaking at a youth fellowship, and he was showing slides of the people in India work there. He showed a number of slides of the Hindus and their worshipping idols. And the midst of it, he'd start to cry. He wasn't putting it on. It wasn't crocodile tears. He was weeping because of the burden he had for his people. Do we have a burden like that? How we need the Lord to teach us to pray. Dr. A.B. Simpson was a man of prayer and had a heart for missionaries. It is said that he prayed many missionaries into the mission field or onto the mission field. And the story is told about him. A guest in his home rose early one morning to take a walk. As he passed the open door of his host's study, he saw him seated at his desk. He noticed Dr. Simpson had finished reading his Bible and had begun to pray. However, he did not drop to his knees beside the desk, nor did he bow his head and close his eyes. Instead, he reached out and pulled towards him a small globe. Turning it slowly, he prayed aloud for all the lost multitudes as the various countries passed beneath his fingers. Suddenly, unmindful of the guest who was watching, Dr. Simpson put his arms around the globe and hugged it to himself. He bent over the globe and wept so that his tears struck the top of the globe, divided and ran down each side, until the whole world, as it were, was wet with his tears of compassion. That's a man who has a burden for souls. That's a man with a missionary's heart. In light of this, are we then not ready today to say, Lord, teach us to pray like that? The Lord also had experience in praying for souls. You know that Christ prayed for the salvation of souls. He prayed for his elect there in John 17, verse 20, where it is said, neither pray I for these alone, that is his disciples, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. He's praying for those who shall believe. What's he doing? He's praying for his elect. He's praying for his people. For he said, I pray not for the world, but I pray for these that will believe. After I got saved, started to attend the church there in Tandragee. Number of Christians came to me, and as believers tend to do when they hear of someone getting saved, they come and congratulate you, rejoice with you. Number of Christians said to me, you know, we were praying for you. We were praying the Lord would save you. And I'll be eternally grateful for those who prayed for me before I was saved. We heard our brother Marshall this morning in prayer referring to his home life, how his family, mother and dad, prayed for him. And why, that's good. One of the most precious possessions anyone can have on the face of this earth, the praying mother and father. You know this? We thank God for the friends who prayed for us. We thank God for the loved ones who prayed for us. We want to thank God today for Jesus Christ, who prayed for us before anybody else did. He knows what it is to pray for souls. He knows what it is to weep over souls. And when he prayed there in Gethsemane's garden, he was praying for me. He had me on his heart. He had me on his mind and all of his children. When the Savior prayed, he knew all about submission and prayer. That was another experience. Savior could teach us all a thing or two about being submissive to the will of God when it comes to the matter of prayer. When we pray for certain things, we desire them so much it is difficult to reach the place where we're ready to say, not my will, but thine be done. But that's how the Savior prayed. He wrestled in Gethsemane's garden, and he could see the cup that he had to drink. separation from his heavenly Father. That was the cup they had to drink. And he knew that to save my soul and yours, believer, that cup had to be drunk. And he came to that place of submission and prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." Completely submitted to the will of God. Have we learned that yet? In the place of prayer. Submission. If not, then we need to say today, "Lord, teach us to pray." We could go on and on about the Lord's experiences in prayer. You think of his use of scriptures in prayer. John 17, verse 12. That the scriptures might be fulfilled. Speaking of those whom the Lord had given to him and he had lost none, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. He used the scriptures in prayer. And believer, this is all to do with the divine art of praying. We pray and use the scriptures, bring the scriptures into our praying and pray through the scriptures. Don't we need to learn? Don't we need to be taught? But you know something else? Let's not forget this, that the Lord's ministry in prayer has not ended. His earthly ministry has ended, but his prayer ministry still goes on. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that cometh unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews 7:25. He's still praying. He's still experiencing prayer and praying and intercession. He is our advocate. He knows how to plead. He is our mediator. He knows how to intercede. He's the best. He's the best. Let us go today to the best. Say, "Lord, give us a prayer ministry like thine." Oh, we'll never reach it, but we can set it as our goal. May I be continually in prayer. We haven't time to look at the last point, but Christ the expectant teacher. In other words, he has taught the disciples, now he expects them to put into practice what they have heard. And the very next verse, "And he said unto them, when ye pray." When ye pray. He expected them to pray. We have been in the school to a certain extent. A prayer with the Lord in these last weeks. The Lord has taught us, I trust, many things about prayer. Now the Lord expects us to pray. He would say to us today, "When ye pray." He gave them a pattern. He gave them a parable. And he gave them his precepts. He expects us to follow them. May we do so. And may we say, "Lord, teach me to pray."
Let's now unite our hearts around the throne of grace.